And today we will finish, before we begin, a lengthy lesson on the kingdom of heaven. Today we're going to finish up, and I know you guys are really glad that this is all over. Because you're anticipating knowing about the kingdom of heaven, where we're going and what it's like, and how that manifests it from here, from there to here, and really see yourself seated in heavenly places. But it is very important that we understand that these killers of faith will keep us from taking our rightful place in Jesus Christ in heavenly places. Amen? And so we've learned over the last several weeks that what is one of the killers of faith? Anybody?
Disobedience.
Disobedience, we know, that it is the main frame of everything that we do, because when we hear God and we don't do what He says, that's called what, Kevin? Sin. Or what Dan just said. Disobedience. Yes, okay. What's another one?
Jealousy.
Jealousy. Ooh, yeah, jealousy. And what's jealousy? How do we learn about jealousy? It kills the faith that we have in each other. Because we're envious of one another because of our shortcomings and low self-esteem. And so what happens is we become jealous of one another. We destroy faith, or allow this spirit of jealousy to destroy faith, not only in God, but in our fellow man. What's another one? Ooh, laziness. None of us are lazy. Right, Kev? Yeah, okay. Because we all sleep till about 2:30 in the morning or 2:30 in the afternoon and don't go to bed till about 4 or 5 the next morning. And then we don't do nothing but sit in front of the boob tube and play our video games, right? That's all we do. What's laziness? Laziness basically is the sin that says, serve me. I don't want to put forth effort to take care of me and serve you. It's serve me attitude. And so with that kind of attitude, we allow that spirit of laziness to destroy faith, because God wants to use us in such a way to bless other people. And when we're lazy, we're also disobedient, because that's not of God. What's another one? What's the lust. I was like, where'd that come from? Lust is another one. And that comes from destroying our faith in God, because what happens is we have these good desires that allow the spirit of lust to come in and putrefy those desires. And then all of a sudden, we turn those good desires into evil desires to benefit myself at the expense of everyone else. It's for my own personal gratification. And lust always wants us to act upon our impulses. And that all these four actually come from the same thing of low self-esteem and low self-images of who we are. And the only way that we can find out who we are is lose ourselves, find ourselves in Jesus Christ. It's the only way that I know. Today we're going to talk about one that's near and dear to all our hearts, and that's called pride. Now there is a good pride, and unfortunately the people of God don't utilize good pride. Good pride is when you do something and you do it well, you take pride in doing well. And we should excel in doing well. But what happens is God's people would rather excel in mediocrity or even less than mediocrity. And that's not what God has predestined us for. If we are kings and priests, we are the best because He says we are. And it is our responsibility to have those gifts and talents to come forth to be served for each other, not for ourselves. And never do we allow those gifts and talents to be manipulated in such a way that our feelings, we don't want to do it because I don't feel like doing it. Or we don't want to exercise a gift because I just don't feel like it. It's not yours, it's His. And when a request is being made upon us, we should graciously want to give that gift away. Amen? Pride is public enemy number 5. Pride is the lofty assumption of superiority. Pride is arrogant in attitude, behavior, and conduct. Pride exaggerates one's abilities and achievements. Pride is arrogant, ambitious, self-exalting, conceited, haughty, and boastful. And of course, that does not describe any of us, right? It describes each and every one of us to one degree or another. And you know, I could talk about, give you examples of prideful attitudes. In Exodus 5, it talks about Pharaoh when he was talking with Moses. And Moses told Pharaoh, you know, you got to let Israel go because God wants his people to go. And if you look at the, I think it's the second verse in chapter 5, Pharaoh said something that's really kind of weird. He says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." Prideful. And we know Christians who have this attitude of, "I don't have to listen to God because after all, God's a good God and He loves us and I can stay in my sin because after all, He's going to let me go into heaven because His blood washes all my sin away. And so I can stay in my sin, right?" That is pride. Pride blinds us and makes us feel more superior than everybody else because we're Christians. My favorite verse in the Bible on this subject is in Proverbs 16:18. If you would turn there. This will become a hallmark for you guys. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall." In other words, as I conduct myself in a prideful, arrogant, more superior than thou attitude, I am setting myself up for destruction. As I become more braggadocious and as I become more haughty in my behavior, I will fall. We have to understand that the way up is down. Does that make sense to you? Because everything about the kingdom and the king and how things operate in the spirit is always in reverse to the physical realm. Always. If we want to test gravity, we just jump off a building and we hit the ground, right? We go from top to bottom. But if you want to go into heaven, you've got to start at the bottom and go up. You see, pride always sets us up here. And it's real hard to maintain. Now, I don't want you to be deceived or have a misconception as to what pride is and confidence. They are two different things. Pride says, "I play this instrument, and I do pretty well. I'm not the best, but, you know, I can hold my own." Confidence is, "You know, I can play this guitar and I can do these things, but you know what, if I just practice a little bit more, I could be better." Pride always exalts itself at the highest place. Confidence realizes where you are at the time. Always looking to the future. Does that make sense to you? Right? You got that, Dirk Koch? Okay, girl. She's with us. Because she's smart, she's cute, and she's going to be the best student this year, right? True that. There you go. We all carry these attitudes with us, like Pharaoh. We call that a Pharisaical attitude, you know, where the Pharisees thought they were better than everybody else. And Christians tend to think that too. We're better than anybody else. When the truth of it is, we're no different than anybody else. We just are in better company than other people are. And we want them to be involved with the company we keep. Pride puffs us up to the point of deluding ourselves with illusion of importance. We believe that we're more important than others. And this attitude was pervasive in Naaman, who came to the prophet Elijah, and Elijah didn't even show him the proper respect that Naaman thought he should have had when he came to him. And this infuriated Naaman. If you turn to 2 Kings 5, we will see the story. Second Kings 5:11. Actually, the story goes where Naaman, he was a mighty general in the Assyrian army, and he contracted leprosy. And he had a Jewish girl that was a servant of his in his house. And she said to him, "My Lord, you've gone through all your gods and they can't heal you. But I know that if you go to the king of Israel, there is a God in Israel that can heal you." And so Naaman went to the king of Assyria and said, "Look, I need a letter allowing me to go there to petition the king." And the king says, "Okay, you can go on the way. I'm going to send a messenger to the letter, and you're going to meet with him." And of course, the king of Israel, he received the letter, and he responded just like the rest of us, ripping his clothes off, saying, "Am I God that I can do this thing?" How arrogant is that attitude in knowing God? You know, we have to be all things through Christ who strengthens me, that is not a prideful, arrogant attitude. It should be a confident attitude that I can because He says I can, and He will help me because He is the I am and I'm the I ain't. So as we continue the story, Naaman comes and he's on his way, and there's a lot in the story. Tell me if I'm making the paraphrasing good. The story goes that Elijah says to the king, "Yo, dude, send him over my way, and I will let him know that there's a prophet in the land that God hears, and he will be healed." And so the king says, "Oh, yeah, sure. We'll ship him over to you, because if it doesn't work, off with your head, not mine." And so he goes to Elijah, and here's this man. You know, you got to understand, this is a general. He's not just coming under the cloak of darkness. He's coming with an entourage of people, and he's got all these goods with him, and he's going to, you know, to get healed, he's going to bestow all kind of treasures on this guy. And he comes up to the thing, and there's Elijah sitting in his tent, and Naaman is getting torqued because Elijah's not coming out to greet the boy. Now, none of us have this attitude, do we? In verse 11, Naaman says, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his God and wave his hand over the place and heal my leprosy." Pride has us flowing in presumption. Why do not Christians receive from God? Because they're prideful. They already know how God's going to heal them or deliver them out of their trouble or win the lottery to make life so much easier that I can become even more slothful in my life. You like that, huh? Cool. What? What I said? Repeat. I just said, you know, God loves our sinful attitude so that I can win the lottery and become even more slothful in my lifestyle. You got that? Lazy. So I have all this money. And okay. Thank you. But the truth of it is, we don't know how God's going to do it, but we want to tie His hands to it. And this is what Naaman's attitude was all about. Oh, here. Here, Elijah. Just wave your hand and call on your God, and He'll heal me. And what did Elijah tell him to do? He says, go to the Jordan River and dunk yourself 7 times and you shall be made clean. And this torqued the boy off. He goes, aren't the rivers back in Assyria better than this dirty brook that you want me to go and clean myself in? And of course, you know, after some negotiating with his people, Naaman did go into the water. He did dunk himself 7 times. And he was cleaned. He humbled himself before Almighty God. You see, for Christians, especially the Church of Jesus Christ, we got to understand that I am standing in His presence at all times, not just on Sunday. The God that I serve, that I am sharing this truth with you so that you can understand, is standing here watching us to understand how we're going to respond to what He says. And it is a fearful thing to come into this church and conduct yourself in a way that is disrespectful. And this is how Naaman was. He was not only disrespecting the prophet, he was also disrespecting God Almighty. But I don't want to give that example. I want us to go to Isaiah, the 14th chapter, and I want us to really see what pride is really about. I want us to understand categorically how destructive pride is. And I've only got 10 minutes to do this. Lord, help me. Isaiah, the 14th chapter. Can you turn there with me quickly? We will start in verse 11, and we will read to verse 15. And it says, all your pomp has been brought down to the grave, along with the noise of your harps. Maggots are spread out beneath you, and worms cover you. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the grave, to the depths of the pit. The greatest angel that God ever created was Lucifer. And yet, Lucifer was kicked out of heaven because of his pride. You see, pride started in heaven. And God found pride in Lucifer. Lucifer's name means morning star or light bearer. It means that he was the first to bring forth the light with music before God. I believe that he was an archangel that led the chorus of angels to praise and worship God in heaven before we were. But Satan's pride deluded himself in thinking, first of all, that he was going to ascend higher than all the other angels. And we know that Scripture tells us that not only did he ascend there, he was thrown out of heaven. Jesus said, I saw Satan falling like a star to earth. It's kind of crazy, and I think it's really idiotic of us to believe that we are greater than God. Satan, a powerful angel, gave in to pride and thought that he was not only greater than the angels, he was greater than God. Think about that. We do the same thing. God, I don't need you. I got everything out of control. Don't worry about it. After all, it's evolving. And it will become that which I want it to be. Total chaos. And we love chaos, don't we? We think nothing's wrong because we're so prideful and arrogant to even think that God Almighty cares about me. So what I'll do is I'll care about myself and I'll allow my pride to harden my heart against the Creator of heaven and earth. And that's what happened to Satan. When he was thrown to earth, his name was changed from light bearer to accuser. That's what Satan means, accuser. You see, he was accusing God of everything. He wanted to run a democracy, eventually kick God out of heaven, and he would take over as a dictator. You see, pride deludes us of self-importance. It also breeds rebellion. Listen to me. It breeds rebellion. What happened in the garden? Adam and Eve's sin was originated from pride. 1 John 4 tells us, or John 3 tells us that, you know, the things of the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the world, and the pride of life. And you can translate that literally to pride of life is, look at all the stuff I got and all the things I can do. Check me out. I got all this bling and ding and I swing, you know, the whole nine yards. And Satan forgot his position. He is a created, powerful angel who thought that he could usurp a power and authority over God Almighty. And pride deceived him. Not only does pride deceive us, it causes us to lie to ourselves. That we would rather believe the lie than the truth. And we operate with that assumption that we will rather lie to you than tell you the truth. Because our hearts are hardened. We don't want people to find out how miserably wicked we are. We don't want people to really find out how desperate I am and what kind of lowly person that I am. We don't want people to see that I'm vulnerable to the same things as you. After all, I'm Michael Vick. I could do what I want. Well, it's a far cry from Michael Vick and Michael Jordan. It's a far cry from Satan and us. Satan allowed pride to cause him to lose his position in heaven to where he found himself in a pit where only worms and maggots flowing was given power over death, hell, and the grave. It's kind of like having the best job in the world, and the only one that's got a better job than you is your boss, and you want his job, so you figure out a way to have a hostile takeover, only your boss finds out, and where you are in the penthouse, now you're cleaning sewers where nobody wants to go. This is what happened to Satan. This is what happens to us when we're not cautious, when we close our hearts off to God, when we think ourselves better than what we ought to, when we give in to the killers of faith, when we give in to lust, when we give in to jealousy, when we give in to disobedience, when we give in to laziness. Pride is the worst one because it uses all the others to destroy us. And pride is so powerful, it blinds us that we can't even see that we are being controlled by it. Pride tries to convey that we are not going to be like God. We are gods. That's out of the Mormons' theology. They're not Christian. They're cults. We are created beings. We are not going to be gods. We are spiritual beings created in the image of God. And we must understand who we are before we can really take our place in heaven as sons and daughters of the Most High. Pride will inhibit us from that. Pride will inhibit us from accomplishing the purposes and plans of God in us and through us to His glory. Pride wants to keep you thinking that you don't need God, that you have everything out of control. The fact of it is, you have everything out of control. The fact is, God is in control. Pride wants to tell us that you don't need to read God's Word, let alone you don't need to do what God says, because after all, it's all going to work out. The beginning for me to understand who I was when I found out who I wasn't in the Word. Because when I found out what I was supposed to be in comparison to who I am, I really began to abhor myself in such a way that I questioned, how could God love a person like me? And the fact is, He does. And He loves you. What He wants from you and from me is a heart that is not stony to Him any longer. See, church, this end move of God, this Joshua generation, must be a people of faith. All through the Word, even Old Testament and New Testament, it says the righteous shall live by faith. Who's the righteous?
We are.
We're righteous because of what Christ has done for us. We couldn't do it. We keep messing it up no matter how much we try. The moment we stop trying and we start becoming that which God says, and you guys have been in discipleship know this, when you stop doing and you start being, it's a whole different world. Because then you start having, and then you start accomplishing, and then all of a sudden God is moving through you to bring you to a place. You guys have heard the word of the Lord. You guys are disobedient to the word of the Lord. And I know it. But it's because of your pride that you think that you're not. What are the things that God has said for you guys to be doing that you're not doing? What are the things that you are doing that you're not supposed to be doing? How we conduct ourselves in an arrogant, outrageous way is disrespectful to Him first. Then we're disrespectful to all the delegated authorities, which, again, our disrespect is rebellion against God, which needs to be repented of, get it under the blood, and do those things that God says to do. It says, honor thy parents, mother and father, so that you may live a good and prosperous life. But how many of us honor through our lips, but our actions and attitudes don't mark that up to the way we're supposed to be? How often do we disrespect those in authority? How often do we show an unloving side? And we're not even aware of it sometimes, that we're unloving. But people around us can see that, and when they try to come and talk to us about how unloving, how cruel we are in our speech or our manners or even behaviors, pride says, they don't even know what they're talking about. You're fine. You're okay. Satan thought he was fine. And he conducted a war against the throne of God in which he found himself on the outside looking in. He became mud because he thought of himself more than he should have, and he tried to take a position that he was not destined for. You guys are destined for a high privileged position in heaven. When God says that you're a king and a priest, that is not for this earth. It is for his kingdom in heaven and the new heaven and earth that he's going to create, of which we are going to inhabit. There will be no pride. There will be no jealousy. There will be no lust. There will be no slothfulness. There will be nothing of that anymore, because that's not God. God will vanquish all those things and throw them into the lake of fire, and it will be done and over with. And then he will make a new heaven and he will make a new earth, of which we will inhabit with him forever and ever. That is what we are predestined for. You have been predestined from the foundations to rule and reign as kings and priests. I exhort you. I exhort you by the mercies of God to get into the Word, to see what God is saying to you specifically, and begin to align your life up to what He has for you. But Pastor, don't say "but Pastor," because "but" is a preface for an excuse. Say, "Yes, Lord." Whatever it is, I'm not interested in my own privileges or whatever. I am here to serve you as we serve them. And until we understand, until we get to this point that the denominational mindset has to be vanquished, that we are stewards of a kingdom that is coming, and it is closer today than it was yesterday, and that God is going to bestow that upon us if we are faithful, as we saw last week in the parable of the talents. If we are faithful and utilize what He has given to us by faith, He will reward us tremendously. But if we take those talents and we bury them and we don't use it because pride says, you don't have to sweat the small stuff, you just do this, God will vanquish us and throw us into the lake of fire too. I don't want that for you. I don't want that for myself. I don't want it for people out there that need Christ and don't even know it yet. You are the answer that they are looking for. You are the answer that has been sent from heaven to go, because in you dwells the Son of God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. If God be for us, who can be against us? It's just recognizing who you are in Him and taking your rightful position that you have been created for, in confidence, not in pride or haughtiness, but in confidence in Him, that you will go and share the good news of His kingdom. The rest is to you, church. If you're ready for the adventure that this life is going to bring, I ask you, stand up to your feet, and we will declare before God and every demon and every angel that we are going to go forth and we are going to kick in the gates of hell, because they shall not prosper against us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Raise your hands up to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just come to you, Lord God. And God, we declare before you, God, with mouths open wide, that God, you are King. You are Lord. You are Master of everything, God. God, we just declare, Father, that the privilege that you have given to us, God, as sons and daughters, to walk in your marvelous light and to declare the powerful works of your hands, God. Lord, we stand in the gap for those who do not know you yet, God. But Father, we come before you, Lord, saying that we will kick in the gates of hell. As you send us forth, Lord God, we will declare boldly, God, the works of our God and the kingdom that He has, Father. God, that you will perform signs and wonders after we have declared. You will confirm the word, God, by signs and wonders. We don't have to look for them, God. They will follow us, God. God, your word is true and we believe it. Satan, you're in trouble, dude. We're coming for you. We're coming for the souls that you don't want won, but God, they are His. And we will declare to those souls beginning today that there is a King who loves you, there is a kingdom waiting for you, and that you have to be part of it because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank you for your saints today, Lord God. Bless their comings and going. Expand their minds and hearts to be used by you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give God a hand clap. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.